The Athenians acted with courage and speed in putting this revolt down. In 428 BC, with their finances already in jeopardy, they nearly went broke. They could have broken into the 1,000 reserve they had set aside at the beginning of the war, but instead, they conducted something that was unusual in an ancient city. They imposed a direct war tax on the propertied classes, an eisphora, which netted 200 talents worth of income. Additional forces were sent to augment the forces besieging Mytilene. Paches, one of their senior commanders, was sent out with more ships. A total of some 40 ships more were committed. The hoplites even helped rowing. Hoplites generally didn't row vessels. That was reserved for the Thetes. Athens was really strapped. They even launched part of their reserve fleet to do a demonstration off the Peloponnesian shore to give the Peloponnesians a misinformed impression that Athens was more powerful than she really was. The rebellion was put down because of internal dissension within the city. And this case in Mytilene and the debate over the fate of Mytilene in the Athenian assembly raised major questions to Thucydides, as well as all of his fellow citizens, as to the nature of the Athenian Empire and the loyalty of the allies. In the summer of 427 BC, food was running short, and the lower classes demanded that the upper classes share the food. They suspected that the upper classes were holding back. And the lower classes had been issued arms to defend the walls. At this point, the upper classes panicked. They probably were holding back on the food. And instead, they opened negotiations with the Athenians and surrendered the city because they feared that the lower classes would open the gates to the Athenians. That is suggestive that the lower classes were not so necessarily endeared to the Athenians as they were hungry when they made their demands. And the city was occupied. It surrendered, technically on terms to be dictated by the Athenians. The members of the government were arrested. The Spartan commander who had slipped into the city to direct the defense, his name was Salithus, was promptly executed. And the question was referred to the Athenian assembly of what to do with the Mytileneans. Well, some scholars have argued that Mytilene and its punishment was a representation of the type of growing atrocity in the Peloponnesian War, and that is a difficult case to make. The rules of war were harsh, and the Athenian assembly on the first day voted to execute all males of military age and enslave the women and children. This was pretty standard fare, and especially for a rebellion that had probably cost the Athenians about 1,500 talents. And nearly had sparked revolts across the Hellespont, which would have cut the grain route. So there was very little love lost for the Mytileneans in the Athenian assembly. Furthermore, the Athenians had felt that Mytilene had been well treated and had betrayed that trust. Nonetheless, after that decision had been voted and a trireme had been sent out, one of the state triremes, to announce the decision in the city of Mytilene, the next day the Athenian assembly again met to reconsider the question. Thucydides preserves two speeches. One spoken by Cleon, who had spoken the day before in favor of the punishment that had been voted. The other by a man named Diodotus, likely a proxenos to Mytilene, an Athenian otherwise unknown, who spoke in favor of more mild treatment. And that debate in Thucydides' mind underscored the growing suffering the Athenians had endured, the ever more radical nature of the assembly, and the rise of men like Cleon, demagogues, men who deliberately misled the people by violent gestures and actions and words, and departed radically from the strategy of Pericles. Cleon addressed the assembly, stressing the fact that once a decision was made, even if it's a bad law, you should not go against it. And then he chides them for listening to orators, which is a rather ironic point. He states as follows, "You, Athenians, are simply victims of your own pleasure in listening and are more like an audience sitting at the feet of a professional lecturer than a parliament discussing matters of state. I am trying to stop you behaving like this, and I say that no single city has ever done you the harm that Mytilene has done. Personally, I can make allowances for those who revolt because they find your rule intolerable or because they have been forced into it by enemy action.